Okay, so this is week three, the first period, and I should have gotten, by the time you listen back to this, you should have your proposals back, and we'll talk about those grades and then what we need to do next. Proposal, sentence outline. Is how to, and four, anthology. That's what we're trying to cover today. I just wanted to put that up there so we'll know what's coming. All right, so the proposals should be back. Did everybody get yours back? Has everybody turned them in? You haven't? Did you turn yours in? And you turned yours in? Okay. Somebody else was having trouble getting theirs turned in. Just briefly, if you haven't turned it in yet, we need to get caught up because everything is interlocked. Like you can't do the next thing until you get that thing done. So I don't want to re-lecture, but I will show you where to find the old lecture. Ah, here we go. 1B. So week one, period B, the lecture for that day is the one that goes over the proposal. And it's three parts, the memo itself, which is two pages, the bibliography of 15 sources in good form, and a lot of people had trouble with that. EasyBib, if you go through EasyBib and just let it download for you, it'll put it into a Word format.
It didn't work for me.
It didn't? What?
No, it would, because I've always used EasyBib, and it would not work.
What was it doing? Did you
come up to another page and say that it couldn't do it or something?
Did you try a different computer?
No, I was at West Washington High School using that one.
Are you in high school? Okay, good.
No, I'm coaching there.
Okay. Say, wow, we got some advanced students in here. I used to get aggravated. I'd be 30 and talk to some old person, and they'd ask me if I was still in high school. And I totally get it. Like, I'm so old that you guys, possibly, if you told me you were in high school, you know, it's okay. Well, audience analysis sheet, that's the third thing. So it'll walk you through it. Try using maybe, do you have a computer at home?
It crashed.
Oh, no. They do have them here, yes. Oh, try just copying those out and starting over. Like, try logging out and logging back in and using a different. I've never had any trouble with EasyBib, but I've never done more than two or three at a time. So that could be
I
it.
I did it, and it did for the first four, and I thought you could do it, so I didn't even save it.
Oh, man.
I don't know the website. So.
Oh, man. That's a pain. Well, bibliographies have always been horrible, and EasyBib makes them a little less horrible, but it's certainly nothing fun. Okay, so go back through that. Also, you will have this link here. This is your proposal guidelines, just this box here. And there's a sample proposal there. So look at yours, make sure it looks like that. And so this is kind of the launching part for our next thing, which is getting the proposal back and the marked up pages. Were you able to figure out where my marks were? Like click on that middle tab And it has grade mark on it. Did that work okay?
Yeah, the blue.
Yeah, they have little blue dots, and you have to click on the dot. You know, a few years ago, turn it in. You could just click and type, and the marks would show up on the paper. It was so much easier, but it was too easy, I guess, for teachers and students. So they made it harder. Unless there's a way to do it, and I haven't figured it out. So for 303, part of the thing about 303 is learning to write papers in the format that your company wants. So this is a job skill, right? I want a modified block letter style, or I want this memo style, or whatever it is. And anything you do, almost, that they want everything in the company to look the same, that means you have to look at something like this and make it the same. So that's why we're so picky about format. I don't do this with, you know, 101 to 212, you know, just get it on the paper. If it's an inch, you know, inch and a half margin, who cares? But once you get into the world of this stuff, like, there was a woman at LSU that we called the margin lady. Because when you turned in your thesis or dissertation, she went through every page and made sure the margins were right and that you had the right font and it was the right kind of paper and your footnotes were numbered a certain way, because all of LSU's dissertations look that way. You know, they've got the one, and if you do a grant or if you, you know, business letter from your company, there are all kinds of places that formatting becomes really important. So you'll notice this is over all the way to the left, then you indent the margin a little bit. And so these were things I would mark for format. And format, everything will have a format, but it'll be different. So it's just important for the future to note, you know, formatting is really important. I have a rubric I grade by. Thesis, what's B? Audience. C is development. D was sources, research, something like that. Backing, maybe. Writing and grammar. Okay, so when you click on the main box up at the top center, you'll see these things written down. Did y'all find these? Okay, and thesis...
Where are we supposed to put our thesis?
Okay, that was just the next thing I was going to say, so excellent. Thesis grade this time is taken from three places. You see purpose... Also, tentative outline. This is your tentative thesis. And your projected recommendations. So what were those three things? The two, the thesis, and recommendations. I'm sorry, I cannot talk and write at the same time. Something in my brain collides. Okay, so those three places, and for the rest of it, it'll just be thesis and recommendations. The special thing about our writing in here, it's mostly writing to get stuff done. You know, you're trying to propose something. You're trying to get somebody to change course. Very few people will ask you, "Gee, I was wondering about lilacs today. Would you please write a paper about lilacs? And because I want to find out more about it." And that's the kind of paper you've been writing all your life, right? More about lilacs. Information papers. No, they want... We want a new computer lab. And we need to know your two top recommendations of computers to put in the lab. And so you have to go and look up information for the sake of recommending You know, so it's moving towards something. So all of these will start our thesis and recommendations are trying to get you to act, and therefore they're in the imperative. Do you know the difference between imperative and indicative? Oh my God, English grammar, no. All right. The ball is red. That's your normal indicative sentence. Is the ball red? That's a question, which makes it interrogative. That's your second English mood. And your third English mood is cranky. It's imperative. Throw me the ball. So you start each one of these sentences with an imperative verb. Do this, do that. So do a little exercise in your brain. Who is your audience? And this is, this stuff ties together. That's why it's so hard for me to lecture about each of these items separately. My thesis, my paper is about, somebody wrote about wildfires in California. And they wrote it to a secretary at Louisiana Tech. Now, what's the problem with the match between audience and subject? Well, I mean, if California has a wildfire, what is a secretary at Tech going to do about it? Right. Nothing. Nobody can think of anything. So, again, remember, this is not information for the sake of information. This is information moving you to action. So who would you need your audience to be to affect the course of wildfires in California? Yes, firefighters in California, maybe the head firefighter, the governor, the head of the legislature, whatever agency regulates, you know, clearing out brush and that kind of stuff. An interest group, homeowners association. Here's how our homeowners could better shield themselves against fires coming through and burning their homes down. There are all kinds of good audiences for this topic, and this Secretary at Tech is not one of them, right? So these have to match up. What do you want done? Who do you want to do it? That's audience. And that is in the two. And here's another, you know, I never know what's going on in people's minds. Because the audience grade comes, did y'all understand the thesis grade? Okay, audience grade comes from where on this page? I bet you can guess. Two. The person it is to is your audience. Now, we live in interesting times because with the stroke of a keyboard, the whole world can enjoy your memo. And so you have all these unintended audiences, right? So you've got to think about, defensively think about, how will this make the company look if this gets out? You know, there was, I don't know how well you remember 2008 and the economic crash. You're probably in junior high or something. That's just depressing to think about. But memos came out where these people were talking about these golden opportunities that they were selling to other people, and they were calling them shit. You know, that's what they called them inside the company. And what's that tell us what's going on in their minds as they were selling them? Well, they were trying to commit fraud. We're saying it's one thing to the public. We're saying another thing to ourselves. So when you do that, you put the company in a lot of danger. Anyway, audience, intended audience. The one that I want to read this. They need to be specific, a real audience that you find out what you can about, because real writing has real audiences. Now, all your life you've had an audience, a real audience, that we will call teacher. You've been writing for teacher, and you still are now. So the mental exercise is to forget about me for a moment and say, who is my imaginary audience? And the more real it is, the more you can address that audience. How do I sell this person a car? How do I sell this bureaucrat, you know, a plan for how to handle California fires in the future? Now, where's the other place that you get your audience grade? How many parts were in this assignment?
Three.
And what was the other part that would be about audience?
Audience analysis.
Oh, yes, the audience analysis. And this is not a big class. What do we have, like 10 people? Maybe 15? And at least two or three of them, I looked at the audience analysis. It's a whole different audience. What the hell? So this name here, reader's name, reader's job title, it should match this name in the to line. So I don't know how that happens, but it happens. And very regularly, it's statistics. If you've got a sharp curve, a certain number of cars are going to go off the curve, no matter what you do. It's just the way it's going to happen, that there are a certain number of people that are going to write to one audience, and then they're going to analyze a completely different audience. So you want, you know, and the ideal for all of these is to get fours, right? So if you've got two different audiences that, ouch, hope that's all right. If you've got two different audiences, that means the best you're going to get for this is a two. Because figure it out. I mean, if you have no audience at all, that's a one. If you're totally confused about who the audience might be, that's a two. So two line, audience. The other thing, I put title here for a reason. It was wrong when she left it out, and it's wrong when you leave it out. They need the title. People love titles. Almost 20 years ago, I got my 303 class to help me write the English department website. It was the first time the Tech English department had our own website. Unfortunately, it was written by college juniors, such as yourselves. And so sometimes they would put instructor by a professor's name, and sometimes they would put professor by an instructor's name, and they would even misspell some of the professor's names. And, you know, I couldn't keep ahead. Like, everybody was checking the website, because the web was brand new. And everybody was just getting on for the first, and oh my God, my name's misspelled, and I'm a full professor with a, you know, whatever. And so I had to take it offline while I fixed this stuff, because they were getting too mad. I couldn't catch up. And so by the next week, I had everybody's titles sorted out. So people love their titles. They love the way their name's spelled. So these kinds of things really can, you know, kind of kick your audience grade down where it should be better. So make sure these match up. Okay, development. All of this is your developed argument for this. So from present status down to, say, tentative outline, that's what this grade is about. Secondarily, looking ahead to the sentence outline, I would look at this tentative outline here, usually on page 2, and look especially at the body, so Roman numeral 2. So Roman numerals 1, 3, and 4, that's everybody. Roman numeral 2, that's your argument, your special argument that you're making to this audience. And the place that this falls short, at this point, more often than anything else, is not getting your plan in. So we want a new flat tax. How do we get that passed? Oh, there's another problem with the audience with this. This guy that she's writing, is Bill Archer. Now, has anybody in here ever heard of Bill Archer? Of course not. In 1997, though, a lot of people had heard about him. He was a congressperson who was leading the charge to get a flat tax passed in Congress. And this idea comes around regularly. Most recently, Herman Cain ran for the Republican nomination on the idea of, his plan was called 999. Everybody has a 9% tax on pretty much everything. And rich people love the flat tax because that means they don't have to pay more as they get richer. Anyway, there are two problems with this basic paper structure when you think about Bill Archer. One, what is she doing through here? What does this outline tell us she's doing?
She's kind of telling him what he already knows.
Yes! Perfect! He is the country's leading expert on flat taxes, and she's explaining flat taxes to the flat tax expert. Right? So this is what I call carrying coals to Newcastle because I'm an English teacher. They used to mine coal in Newcastle in England, and they would, you know, that's a saying for you're doing something useless. You're carrying coals to Newcastle. Why would you do that? So you're carrying the flat tax explanation to Bill Archer, the person of all people in the country who needs it the least. All right, so this is a bad outline at this point. What does she need to do instead? Well, yes, you could change audience. That would be the easiest thing, right? If you're thinking as a college junior or senior or graduating senior who wants to get the hell out of tech, yeah, certainly let's change audiences to somebody that could use this my glorious explanation of the flat tax. But if you're thinking about a staffer who works for Bill Archer, you're an unpaid intern because Congress is cheap, what would your be approach then to, what would you change at that point? You've got to write something to Bill Archer, so you can't change that. All right, the problem is not with the concept of the flat tax. We've got the concept right. What's the problem?
Everybody might not be able to pay.
Well, I mean, that's their problem. What's Bill Archer's problem? Yes! The reason you've never heard of this flat tax plan, the Archer flat tax, is it did not get passed. So what would be a really, really good outline for Representative Archer? How to get it passed? Yes, who do we have to kill? You know, who has to wake up with the horse's head in the bed next to them? Y'all see The Godfather? Okay, that's a Godfather reference, sorry. So what is our plan for getting this passed? And that's what, and this is a different sort of writing. Writing to somebody to get them to do something, and what the hell do I want them to do? And somewhere in this body, if nothing else, you need a D here, our plan. And that at least lifts it into the realm of competence, right? That's our goal for this quarter, is competence. We'll save the excellence. But right now, we just want to get y'all out the door. Is everybody graduating? Is anybody not graduating? All right. Well, let's get y'all out. Just get, let's touch the bases here. So development is the body of the memo, and then really the outline. I didn't knock off as much because you had the rest of it, but if I tell you something needs changing and you got a 3 here, if you don't change it, that grade's going down next time. Okay, turn off your iPad. Laurel, Mississippi. Do I know anybody in Laurel? Am I still recording? You know somebody?
No, I don't.
I've got relatives in Mississippi, but not Laurel. Yes, the proposal first, then we're going to move forward to the sentence outline.
Okay,
did you get your grade back for your proposal?
I just wanted to doodle today real quick, and I saw my grades, but I didn't really review.
Okay, read all those little blue squares. You have to click on them, and they'll pop up into my words of wisdom to you. But generally, this is going to be what I said. Your development, at this point, needs, almost always, this is universal, you're not uniquely stupid. This is just a problem developing a skill you haven't developed yet. You're going to be graduating and moving home and working at Burger King, but maybe down the road you'll get a nice paying job working in a company, and you get to wear a tie and stuff like that. The economy's coming back. It's going to trickle down, someday. Anyway, to keep hope alive, let's work on thinking about what we'll be doing down the road when we write these recommendations, these proposals. This is what I want done by our office. So that's missing from this one. And I picked one like this on purpose because it's usually missing on everybody else's too. This is the hard thing to think of. What's my plan? What's my great information? But what do we want done? All right. So if I give you a 3 here, it's because you did a pretty good job overall with the development. But if I told you you need a plan and you don't put a plan in next go round, if you don't alter your tentative outline, this is tentative. It's not Moses carving into stone, right? You're carving into electrons on your computer. You can change it. So if you don't add a plan, then this thing's going down for the sentence outline. And why not get it right the first time? Same thing with, All right, so that research, where are you getting your research grade? There are two places. This present status of the problem, you have to quote from two different sources, right? And where else do I see what research you've been doing? Bibliography, excellent. My bibliography of 15 sources. So bibliography will show up in your grade twice. This is the information in the bibliography. Did you use government documents? Did you use peer-reviewed articles? That kind of stuff. Are there 15 of them? Now, writing has to do with your style, but this is also where I do format. So there are two format grades or two format places that you get graded for. One is this here. And everything counts, you know, like this is single spaced. Did you double space? Is this indented? No, did you indent? So all these things are part of the format. This is indented over. The whole, it's called hanging indent. The whole thing is over. Did you start on the next line below present status of the problem? Did you use bold? All these formatting things go into it. There's another place that you had to format, though. Where is that? Bibliography. Oh, my God. MLA bibliography style. And if you can get the Easy Bib to work for you, great. You may have to go back two or three times or something. And, I mean, if worse comes to worse, they've still got the Cornell, use the MLA. I wouldn't buy the MLA book because, you know, I just see it as a worthless expenditure. they have places that'll walk you through it. But the easiest thing, if you can get it to work right, is EasyBib. But it needs to be hanging indent. Did I have a bibliography to kind of glance over? Oh, I know where we've got them. Tech links, literature and language. Do you think you can write? Here we go. Let's see if this one. Oh, yeah. Now, this would be a mistake. I don't know how that got past the teacher, but references, where does this go? Do you want it on the bottom of the previous page? So what do? Shove it down to the next page. Also, well, this is pretty horrible as far as MLA goes. It's more APA, but I'm not even sure about that. So it's bad bibliography, bad, bad bibliography. Let's see if we can find a good one. Let's look at the 400 level. These are majors. Space colonialism. That sounds great. I want a paper on space colonialism. Okay, this looks better. The one thing I would say for my class, I like to be able to go back and check your sources if necessary. So put the URL, and there's a place in EasyBib. You click on the little button, and then it'll put the URL in there. But URLs are insanely long, right? So you wind up with the URL here, and then it'll move down to the next line. So go, you have to play with this a little bit, but put a space in. I did it in HTML. That's why I didn't show that to you. But let's try that. 303. Syllabus. Long report. Let's see. Where's our sample long reports? Here we go. Let's look at the voting machine one. Okay, this is closer. Let's see if he... Oh, right here. See what he did? And he probably had to put a space before docs, and that's a little too much space. Let's try it here. He might have tried somewhere along here, and that was so long that it went down to the line. So we try to observe one-inch margins. Fifteen, 15, 1-5, not 50. Let's see if that came out. Yeah, who knows? We'll see. Right, so once you get your 15 documents and they're in proper MLA format, yoo-hoo, you know, you don't have to do it again. You just, you know, paste it into the new document. So that's why we try to get this done early. Okay. So how far have we gotten? Formatting the memo and formatting the bibliography. And then finally, grammar. And hopefully I don't have to explain, you know, grading grammar. These are the things that you've always thought was English, right? You've got a comma here that doesn't belong, or you don't have a comma that does. You know, the kind of stuff that always got marked all the way through. That still gets marked, but notice where it is on our list of things. It's the last thing to take care of, because if you delete a whole paragraph, you aren't going to need to correct the split infinitive, right? I don't really care about split infinitives. I actually think we should split infinitives. But I'm kind of contrarian about that. All right, so do you understand how the assignment that you've gotten back, how I graded that at this point?
Is it submit?
Right. The thing that you need to change will be the next set of stuff that we're about to go over. So if you don't understand this, and the way the grade works, let's say, what's that add up to? 6, 9, 12, 17. And 17 24ths is how many percent? 71%? Is that possible? So if you got these grades for these items, you get this overall grade. Does that make sense? So it's a grading rubric. So you can kind of hopefully grade your own stuff after you figure it out. I'm going to put that up on the website. Try to have this either tonight or tomorrow. This looks like it's going to be a lot of stuff to cut and paste and get into my webpage. But soon it will be up. All right. So we're together so far. All right, I'm going to take a break. Yes. You want a 4.
Okay.
4 is the best you can get. 1 is the worst. So if you get a 4 on thesis, that means you got all this stuff working together.
Okay.
You got the 2, you got the projected thesis, you got a good list of recommendations. 2 on audience, because this person wrote one audience in the 2 line and a completely different audience in the audience analysis, which does not make sense. 3 for development, because they did pretty good with the overall outline, even though they needed to change their projected outline in that part. They did pretty well with the body, but the outline itself needs work. 3 for research, they did pretty good on their present status, pretty good in their bibliography. Maybe they only had 10 instead of 15. If you don't quote, if you don't have a bibliography, this grade suffers here. This goes down to a 2 or even a 1. Formatting, the memo has to be in a specific format, and so does the bibliography. And then grammar is just grammar. So does that all make sense? Okay, I'll be right back. Remind me to start this up again, because one of the first lectures I forgot, and then we only had half the lecture. So I'll be right back. All right, so we're moving on to the proposal. which we've already graded, to the sentence outline. And you'll see there is a sample outline and a sample report dummy. The first thing to note is that there are four parts to this. The report dummy and parts 3 and 4, audience analysis. Yeah, see the Roman numerals, and then notes. 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm writing it on the board, but it's also in this box. So as with the first assignment, it's important to get all four parts of these done. You know, it'll be a four-part thing to upload. So let's work through these. Now, the one we don't need to worry about too much is, which one do we already kind of know how to do, hopefully? Audience analysis. So we've done that. So the sentence outline is here. Let's click on it. So the thesis, again, fails to make a proposal. So we should do more to help our mentally handicapped people or something like that, mentally ill people. Now, the problem, deinstitutionalization prevents many mentally ill people from receiving necessary treatment. That is a, that's a statement, right? It is information. And what are we looking for? Recommendations. So we should avoid, or we should be sure. Okay, I've got to think of this.
So mentally
ill people should be deinstitutionalized? Yeah, Louisiana, because you want it specific, right? Not just everybody everywhere. Louisiana should take steps to make sure that the mentally ill people being released from institutions still get their necessary mental health care, right? And that probably could be improved, but at least that's a recommendation. So that's part of where I look for your thesis grade, is the thesis. Where's the other place? Oh, what's this? What's this I see? It's a list of recommendations, right? This is your thesis broken down into steps. Do this mental exercise. My audience has finished reading the report. They close it up. What next? It's always real clear. You look at a TV commercial, right? The one thing they always, if they want to do a good job, the one thing they always have to leave with you is, what should I do? I see a wonderful commercial for an Apple Macintosh, right? Or these days, iPhone. What is the goal of that commercial? Buy an iPhone, right? If you see a car commercial, what is the goal of the commercial? Buy a car. If you see the 3 a.m., you know, they start trying to get you to give money for charities, so digging wells for tigers or something. What is it they want you to do? Give money. Do they want you to go over there and dig a well for a tiger?
No.
Oh, hell no. They want money. So they can do their thing, sometimes maybe even digging wells for tigers. We just don't know. You're never quite clear what that money goes to. So the thesis is your overall, you know, big picture. This is what we want done. Remember, did we do the veal calf ad?
Yeah.
Remember, they don't buy veal. That's what this audience. But we also want them to give money. So that's your list. Your list is two things: don't buy veal, give money, join our organization, occupy Ruston, right? We're going to shut down the cafeteria for veganarians. You know, there's a whole list of things you can do once you get going. So what do we want our audience to do? That's our thesis plus our list. So that's your thesis grade. Now, the next thing is audience. Where am I going to get the audience grade from these four things? Oh, the analysis, yes. And if you got a great, you got a four last time around, then great. Your audience analysis, you know, you can just roll it over. You've already done it. If you got a two, guess what?
Change your audience.
Think about it. Yeah, what is it? If you had two audiences before, or the wrong audience, you were writing to somebody in Louisiana about California fires, then you need to change that up. And sometimes, like we said before, realistically for you as 303 students, it might be easier to change the audience than to change your argument, but realize that down the road, your audience is kind of fixed. You've got a person you've got to write something to, and you need to write the right thing to them. So, you know, long term, you want to start being able to adjust your argument to match your audience. Okay, so profile sheets, check. Development, which one of these four things will I look at for development? No, that's formatting. We'll get to that in a minute. So that leaves outline. The outline itself is your development. So let's take a look at how the outline looks. Now, part of our outline is mandated by the department. Purpose, history, review of recent literature, and research procedure. These have all been laid down for us by our predecessors. And so, you know, that's just, if you deviate from that, you can lose points. I think everybody actually got, everybody that did it, actually got these four things. You followed the mandated outline, and that's good, so you don't lose points. But be sure you just roll that over, and then you work up a sentence to go along with these. That'll be your topic sentence in the paper itself. So a good outline sentence is one that can serve as a topic sentence later in the paper. So we're helping you write the paper. And then you fill in support for that. So then she goes here into her outline. It's hard to talk, to tell clearly. She seems to have stuff she wants done, though, right? So she actually, you know, one of the mentally ill in prison, but it does seem to be more informational than plan-wise. So make sure, again, that in the development, which is the sentence outline, be sure you put in your plan. When y'all were kids, did y'all watch Pinky and the Brain? And what's Brain got every day? A plan to take over the world, right? Can you take over the world without a plan? I think not. So in this process here, you are steps to fulfill my, you know, goal for what I think our company or our bureaucracy, our government department, wherever you're setting this, plans to get it done. So she might say, as Obamacare did say, that we need to change the law so that insurance covers mental health as well as physical health, right? Health is health. Why are we not covering mental health? And why the hell don't we have dental insurance with it? You know, you're paying all this money for your medical, you know, why doesn't it cover everything medical? But it doesn't. So, you know, we can fix this by adjusting the system. And that's what you have to come up with. How do we want to fix it? All right, so where in these four things am I going to get your research grade?
Notes,
yes. Now, we still have in the dummy, which we'll get back to in a moment, our 15 sources in good MLA format. How the hell are we going to do this? I think what I would prefer... Did any of you use note cards? Yeah, the last time I used note cards to write a paper, and I've got two doctorates and a master's, and I've written a bunch of papers. The last time I used note cards was in 1977 when I was a freshman, and I had to turn them in with my research paper. They're totally obsolete technology. And they were in 77. This was before computers that, you know, you could write papers on if you were an English student. We were years away from that. But we had a Xerox machine. And the purpose of note cards is to go into a library and read books that you can't check out and write stuff down. Well, what can you do with a Xerox machine? You can just Xerox it, and then you carry it out with you and read it later, and you make notes in the side. So I think what I would like you to do is just a page with notes you've taken from various sources, 15 notes, but, you know, just a brief, like MLA-style brief citation of where you found it exactly. And then instead of photocopies, down at the bottom, give 5 of those URLs so I can check on your... Make sure you're doing research in reputable places. You got to be aware of where you're getting your information, right? I mean, we've got people running around the world today, especially in the United States. We've got a lot of people that want to believe a certain thing, and so they look up on this special website about why global warming is a myth. I mean, we've got a congressperson from South Louisiana whose platform was that global warming is a myth. The whole part of the state is dropping off into the sea even as we speak. I mean, how stupid do you have to be? There's an old, it's kind of a parable. Well, not a parable, really, a warning. You know, they say a frog, if you put it into really hot water, will jump out, but if you put it in a pan and gradually warm the water, it will stay there because it doesn't sense the heat getting too hot. That's not true of frogs. They actually will jump out. But it is true of congresspeople from South Louisiana. And possibly for the whole human race, that we will sit here in this world that's getting hotter every year, and we're slowly drowning near the coast, and we're burning up in other places. And we are not going to believe because we found this website that let us off the hook. So that's what I want to check on. Are these reputable, good sources, or is it a bunch of crap? Okay, so notes. So 15 notes, 5 links to your sources, because this gets unwieldy otherwise, and I can click on them and look.
Can I just type this in Word?
Yeah, you can just type it up in Word. That was something I wanted to ask you guys. This is kind of way off the subject. And one thing, I don't know, for a basic 303 class, I think Word does all right, because most of you, that's what you'll be using. But most documents these days end up, in one way or another, in a computerized system, often on the internet, right? And so if you open up a Word document in your iPhone, it sucks. So I actually designed, let me find it, Bruce McGee's homepage. 303. Syllabus. To me, it makes sense. Long report, here we go. We're getting close. Responsive mad cow disease. So this is how my paper looks on an iPhone. Or not my paper, somebody else wrote it. But I coded it up just as an experiment in writing papers for the web instead of, or for an iPhone, instead of just to be printed out or viewed on a big screen. Now, I'm not going to do this quarter because we haven't been working toward that. But if you were in a 303, would you rather do that kind of paper or this Word-based stuff, which is, in a sense is obsolete, but you're used to it? You like this better? Nobody wants to tackle the HTML. Okay, I see fear in your eyes. I'm doing that with it. I've got an upper level class where, you know, they're actually also, almost all grad students working on a major in technical writing, and so we're doing basic writing for the web. And everything they do has to be online. But I was thinking I could do that with this class. Like a responsive resume. You've got a website somewhere. Here's my resume. It looks great on their iPhone. But I don't know. That may be, I'm not sure how much writing for the web you'll be doing in your job anyway. So, okay, I just thought I would ask. So we'll plow on with this stuff. So this is research, are the notes. The bibliography I will look at again, the notes, and the five links. Writing will again be how well written it is, but also again formatting. Now, the sentence outline is a kind of it's the kind of thing that you wouldn't turn in. So I don't worry about the outline formatting as much. So see, and as long as you're kind of doing something outline-y looking, that's fine. Because this is not something you would turn into your boss, right? This is something you work on as you go along. I used to make papers kind of like this. I might not do full sentences, but then I would put this at the bottom of my first page, and as I got to, the thesis, then I would, delete that off the bottom, and then I'd get to the introduction, I'd move, down here, and then I'd kind of move through it, and then when I got through, I was through. Does that make sense? So that's one way to write a paper. And I would kind of make my scratch notes down below as I went along, and then delete them after I got them actually into the paper itself. But mostly for this assignment, the report dummy. Now, what is a dummy report? You'll notice that it's like a long report except with X's. Now, did you figure out why we're doing this? Or is this the first time you've seen it? First time you've seen it. Yeah, don't look ahead. It only depresses you and confuses. The first time anybody ever came to watch me teach I was in grad school at LSU, and she went back to the class where we were learning how to teach. Said, after his presentation, Bruce's students were confused and depressed. So that keeps that gives me a goal to keep shooting for. All right. So the first couple of years I taught 303, I didn't do this. And I would have people come in just having a nervous breakdown the day the long report was done, because about 3 o'clock in the morning, they realized they couldn't format it. They were trying, you can't write the long report and format it at the same time. You're trying to write, and then how do I get a triple space? What the hell is a triple space? How do I get this other stuff to work? So the dummy report is intended for you to get the formatting nailed down. And then later on, you save this. And when you do your actual long report, you take these X's out and write the text. And then you've already got your formatting. Because formatting in Word is hellacious. Bill Gates, he wants to do what he wants to do, right? He wants your paper to look a certain way, and you want it to look some other way. And that makes it pretty bad. Now, also, I will start grading stuff like, what's the problem here with the address? What does this say? You need your audience's full mailing address, right? So that's something you have to look up somewhere. If you just drop this in the mailbox with this address on it, is it going to go anywhere? Maybe if you get a really good civil servant, somebody working for the post office that feels like doing their job, maybe they'll do it for you, but yeah, it's time for my break. I'm just going to throw it over here. And then their grandchild will get it in 60 years. Somebody will decide to deliver it because it's kind of cool to deliver old mail. All right, so first choice you have to make is font. Times New Roman is fine. There are some other nice fonts. Basically, you do a professional-looking font, right? This is not where you use your wedding script. That's when you're getting married. This is where you use... this is called Serif, because it has these little... like, an R like that is sans serif. Serif. And then... this has the serifs on it. You can go either way. There's some nice ones. I think Helvetica is sans serif. But there's some nice fonts that will set your paper apart, like Garamond. That's pretty decent. Caslon. Or just look through the list. In my day, with the typewriter, if I wanted to change fonts, what did I have to do? Buy a new typewriter. And then this miracle came along, the IBM Selectric 3. That's the IBM Selectric 3, cast aluminum, weighed about 75 pounds. But instead of a key, instead of keys, it had what they called elements. Or sometimes we just call them balls. But elements sounds a little better. And you could change the element. So you could have several fonts. You could have two or three different sizes. You could have different languages. I had a professor who taught Greek. And so on our tests, I would be changing out the element between Greek and... It was a miracle. Right, So now, how many fonts do you have to choose from on your computers? Like 500, 1,000? Have you even counted them? I haven't counted mine. I think I have them all. Only they keep making more. All right, so notice here also we've made it a little bigger. This is your normal 10, 12-point font. Make it a little bigger for headings. You can even change color. And that's the nice thing about a web page is you can get all fancy, like I'm going to have blue titles so that people can tell them. Now, follow this format very carefully. You may want to print it out, the dummy report, because you want to this to be an inch, maybe that's a little more than an inch. It starts at halfway over. It's not centered. How do I get it halfway? Well, I can print it out, fold the paper, and where on the page will it be if I've indented it correctly? Halfway. Where is halfway on this piece of paper? This thing here, right? So if my address starts here at the seam, at the place I folded, then it's indented over properly. So always be sure you check that because words kind of tricky. Word is kind of, I'll lock up. I will. Don't you want to cool it off tonight?
No.
Oh my goodness. I know. There'll just be blocks of ice. You'll find us frozen in our seats. Except me. I'll still be up here talking. How are we doing on time? 4:16. Okay. Thought I was running. Okay, that's fine. I was worried I wasn't going to pick up Kerr.
No,
so
it's only 4:15.
Okay, good. But, you made me nervous.
I have to run an errand.
All right. So where were we? you start halfway over. So it's it should be lined up and down like this, but she's pushed it over too far. So usually 325 because it's 8.5 inches wide, and then they have the 1 inch margin. So it's 3.25. But it may be, depending on what program you're using, 4.25. So fold, it helps. All right, and then there's spacing issues. This is quadruple space from April 1997 to Stephen Hyman. I think we've got a making the dummy report on the website, and it will walk you through it. Let's see if we can find it. Report, sentence outline, sample report dummy. Powering up Word for the long report and dummy report. 2005. So hopefully Word hasn't changed that much. And then we've got the, see these detailed description of what to do where. So in addition to printing the whole thing out, you might want to as well, look at this. It'll help you form it. It'll tell you what to do in Word to make it bend to your will and not do what Bill Gates wants. All right, spacing. In single spacing, we write on every line, right? Double spacing, how does that work? Every other line. So line, blank, line, blank, line. So far, our brains are keeping up. When we get to triple spacing, though, we start to get confused. How do we do that? How many blank lines then?
Two
blank lines. So triple spacing, a little tricky because a lot of times you want to put three blank lines in there because triple. But no, it means you've got a block of three. You've got a line written on two blanks, a line written on two blanks. Okay, so how will then quadruple work?
Three.
Right, three blank lines. So one, you write one, two, three. Write one, two, three. All right, so we've got our word processor set on single space. We return one, two, three, four times to get down to that next one. So just leave it set that and then quadruple space down there. So this is standard business letter style. When I took typing in college, in addition to learning, you know, the keys and whatnot, we had this big book that would also introduce us to basic formatting. This is modified block. And then there's block style. And then there were other styles for other things. And so this stuff has been around since, you know, since typewriters, basically. Okay, so between these, we leave a blank space, so that's double spaced. This is block style, so you do not indent. Oh, stop. All right, so it's a little unclear here, but double indent to that. Quadruple space. This page is the only time you will ever use quadruple space for our class, up at the top and right here. And again, enter once, two, three, four times. And this leaves room for you to sign, which you should sign. Okay, we've got two styles of numbering in the dummy report. Roman numerals, bottom center, and then Arabic numbers that go from the bottom center on first pages of sections to the top right. Again, follow the format real close. Abstract, 2 inches down, triple space here, bold that, and this is Roman numeral 3. Now we, again, don't look at the page numbering. They came up with a system, a simple 35-step system changing the page numbering. Go to this one. Powering up Word one more time. This one's shorter. Hopefully Word still works something like this. So your predecessors from 10 years ago have left you a trail of breadcrumbs. You have to start a new section, basically. Because the tricky thing about Word is when we get 5 pages down, and we want to start numbering this other way, it will go back and change everything you've done number-wise, unless you start these new sections. What was the other thing? Crap. Numbering. Oh, well, maybe it'll come back to me. There was another thing, but I forget what it is. Okay, so Roman numeral 2. Now, each new section starts 2 inches from the top with a major heading, which means, you know, your largest size that you're using. So if you use 14 for the major headings, then you can use 13 for the minor ones and 12-point font for your paper. Does that make sense? And this will be on the website. I'm thinking more and more it'll probably be tomorrow. I don't see this getting done today. But there will be a new lecture up before the end of the week. All right, here's her table of contents, which basically follows the outline that she's been working on her sentence outline, right? And this is how the table of contents will look. Again, there are directions to have leader dots, and these are right aligned so that what you don't want is this side coming down the page like this and this side coming down like this. Back in the olden days with typewriters, you could just space over or tab over. It didn't really matter. In computers, unfortunately, when you space over and it looks straight on the computer, they've never gotten that squared with the way it prints out. So you have to use tabs and other commands to get alignment right, because it'll look one way in your computer and then you print it up, oh my God, you know, what's this page doing? And then eventually you'll come back and fill these X's in. So when you get ready to write your long report, this will be your best friend. If you get this right, then the long report will be, you just have to write the information, right? You don't have to write all this crap, all this formatting. Figures and graphs. We need at least 5 figures. They can be, you don't have to include them now, but in the long report. Yes?
Okay, my topic is something about exam anxiety. So what kind of...
You can put a graph of how many people suffer anxiety. You can put a picture of somebody worrying. you can put pictures of the pills. You can put pictures of them in the, you know, doctor's office talking to the psychiatrist. So there are all kinds of types of images out there. So, and, you know, anymore, used to, this was a pain in the ass. You would go to the library, you would copy a picture, you would literally cut the picture out, paste it in a blank spot on your page, make another copy of it so you don't have all the tape, and that's what you turned in. Now, you guys, what do you do when you want an image? Google, yes, the Google machine. It's great. Figures and graphs. Okay, and here we change numbering style. No, we don't. Should have looked first. Introduction, and this again was not my format. It's the one the department came up with. And it's not that there's one correct way to number a paper. It's that everybody will have their own way of numbering, that you'll have to get the Word document to number in their style. This is not our format. Okay, so notice here, triple space, everything else is double space. At the bottom of a page, don't just have one line. And don't have a title or subtitle down there by itself, a heading. Push it on down to the next page. And then watch your margins. Okay, now I think we change. Okay, so here is a page number 1 at the bottom. Oh, I know what I was going to say. If Word is giving you horrible, you know, if it's just not working for you, you can, in theory... Although, I don't know. Used to, if you turn it in paper form, you can make a lot of little files with the numbers in the right places and then put them all together. And if that comes to it and you want to turn that in, you know, a paper copy, to me, I can actually grade paper quicker than computer stuff. It's quicker to write, quicker to read. So if you're having trouble getting the thing to format in one long document, divided up into smaller documents. Okay, here's a widow. If it's one line at the bottom, is it a widow or an orphan? One's called one, one's called the other. I can't remember which, but you don't want that. Now, preferably, if possible, it would be nice for this 3 to be a little higher. Because what they've done is this is a 1-inch margin and then 3 is right here. So if you can do it in your heading area, that would be better. I don't really, you know, as long as it's more or less an inch down to something, I don't get too particular about that. You don't want it going beyond the margin, but a little extra room doesn't necessarily hurt. All right, so you keep going. Notice that our pages, when we're not starting a section, up at the top right. Conclusion, we've got the 2-inch margin at the top and the page number at the bottom. Summary, interpretation. Okay, triple space there. These are your recommendations. So be sure you put them here as well as in your sentence outline. And, oh, what's this? These are your 15 sources. So if you didn't get your 15 sources in spiffy MLA form the first time around, guess what? This is your next chance to get it. And there will be a chance after that. So if you want to get it tacked down right the first time or the second time by now, then you don't have to worry about this again. If you get your format done correctly, then when you write the long report, this will be there for you. It's your scaffold, right? And everything just fills in really nicely. You don't have to mess with all these page numbers and whatnot. Maybe a little bit when you're starting a section. But most of your formatting work has, you know, is finished. That's the audience profile sheet as it appeared years ago before I, you can tell my skills have gotten a little better. I don't know what I typed that on. All right, any questions about the dummy report? Okay, and grammar is grammar. So the dummy report, and once again, bibliography style needs to be right, but that'll all be in your dummy report. So let's take a picture of this. Back up a little. Cannot take photo. How can that be possible? Hold on. Oh, this recording is taking up a lot of room. Yeah, that's the problem. Okay, what can we delete for now? Let's do some of these iTalk things, the old ones. Sorry, guys. Oh, we can't. You can't record and... Okay, I got to delete something else. I'll delete Facebook. All right. Because that's big, and you can just put it back on there. Oh, come on now. Stitcher, that's a lot. Dropbox. Dropbox I could take off. Because I'll put that back on later, too. All right, now let's try. There. Okay, where were we? Questions. Have I stunned you? Confused? Depressed? Yes.
So,
Yeah, I actually took it as an elective because I figured there might be a chance I might need to type someday. My generation, have y'all watched Mad Men? We fully expected to someday move into an office, and outside the office, there would be sitting a secretary who would do all of our typing for us, because that was the way of the world. And then about 10 years later, they came out with these computers, and you can pay a person $15,000 a year, or however much they made a year, to do your typing for you, or they can pay $2,000 and say, here, type your own stuff. So secretaries went away. I never had one. So it was really lucky I took that typing class because the world was about to change. I mean, at the time, computers, you input by punching holes in cards. And so this was, it just was something I didn't know what my situation would be. I knew I was going to be a grad student for a long time, and I didn't want to pay somebody to type my papers for me. It was a dollar a page, which was hella expensive. And so I was going to save me some money down the road. And you got to take an elective anyway, so why not typing? It's not worth it for that. And now you can just do Siri, type my stuff for me. Okay, so are we kind of clear on the next phase? We've gone over notes, we've gone over report dummy, audience analysis, you already know. I don't like to explain more assignments than one at a time so they don't get confused. So next week, let's come back and work on our websites. Any problems last minute with the blog? Let's take a look.
Can I ask you a question about the page you were just on?
Yeah.
So it has like reading and writing. The writings, are we supposed to be emailing those to you?
No, that's just for you.
Okay.
The only ones you turn in are the ones for grades. So that's for, and usually I'll have it red if I figured out how to set the red. Let's see if I can find our cookbook. People love cookbooks. Oh, here we go. Chicken. How do you say that?
Koya.
Koya?
Goyla.
Goyla?
Choyla.
Choyla.
Choyla, yeah.
Who did this one?
That's me.
Which, oh, good. So it's Choyla? Oh, cool. great. That looks good. My ex-wife and I used to have this roommate. He was a housemate. We had a house. We had a room. He had a room. He worked at the international student office, and he made all these international student friends. And he would invite them over, and they'd all cook something and bring it. It was so great, It was like international food night, and they made these dumplings. I don't know who was making what. What country it was from?
It was from Nepal.
Oh yeah, and they would bring in, like, they would be sitting around the table making the dumplings and then cook them. It was like this big ritual almost. So it was cool to have an international food. Yeah, sometimes, remember, when the first, and sometimes we have to kind of guess. When they came out with this cookbook, a lot of places used a fireplace. I thought I had the fireplace. So originally people cooked in fireplaces, and then they got wood stoves, and so you never knew how hot anything was. So medium heat, I would say 350, just give your best guess. You might cook it and see how it comes out. I had a bad experiment with challah, which is fried rice balls. You not ferment. What's the other stuff for bread? Yeast. You mix yeast in with rice, supposedly, and then you drop it and fry it. And they used to sell these in New Orleans before beignets, and I wanted to try this very traditional thing. Then all my rice kept frying apart from the ball, and it tasted horrible. So I don't know how to make challah. I know how not to make challah. It did not turn out well. Yeah, these are looking good. So y'all had okay time with the formatting and everything? I will show you. The reason I started the cookbook was I figured it would get us more, get more attention for the anthology as a whole. Oh, man, we're getting some stuff. Here we go. Did y'all watch the video?
Yeah.
It's 10 minutes, but I'm not going to show it to you. So
do you cook that thing the same way if you are making it for like 1 or 2 people?
It depends on the amount. Like the duck turkey, you mean? I would cut the recipe, and do it all in a little. Because this is for the whole family.
Yeah. I want to do the
recipe. It's good. It's a really good recipe. So you've got the, can't even see it. Okay, here's the turkey, and there are the ducks. So that's a big recipe. But what we did was cut up a bunch of the turkey and freeze it for later. So if you like smoked food, which I love, and it's a Louisiana kind of thing. But the other thing I was going to tell y'all, I did right before Thanksgiving. Where are my pralines? Cucumber ketchup. Yeah, I didn't know until one of y'all chose this. Did anybody in here choose the cucumber ketchup?
I chose cucumber ketchup.
Yeah, that's it. Did you make it? No. I wondered how it tasted. Okay, here's the New Orleans praline pumpkin pie. Like 2 days before Thanksgiving, I just took this picture, which is a horrible, it's just sitting out there. Oh, let's take a picture. I put it on Facebook. 12,000 people looked at that pie over the next 3 days.
For pumpkin pie or something? What? If they search for it?
Well, yeah, now if they look for pumpkin on my site, they'll find it. But Facebook, your social media is how you'll get a lot of hits. And so just looking at that, a lot of people said, that looks pretty good. And then, they showed it to everybody else. So that's been the most popular thing I've ever done in my life, is that dorky pumpkin pie picture. Why does it keep doing that? This is great. Did y'all enjoy doing this? Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, we're trying to create a modern recipe from the old, warm it up.
Yeah.
And I think it's in here. There's the red beans and rice, monkey pudding. Crap.
It shows you the recipe.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Ah, here we go. Okay, now it'll stay on the page. So, I think what I did here was I just found your basic, because back then you made your pastry, right? And so I said, buy a frozen pastry, and I found a just basic pumpkin pie recipe I liked. And so the only thing really from the cookbook is the praline part where you just mix it up with butter and what is it? Butter, sugar, brown sugar, and pecans, yes. And then you spread it on the top and broil it for, however long. And you have to watch it. I mean, broiling is always something you have to watch. Where'd it go? The whole time he's doing it, he's talking. But anyway, this is also the duck, duck, turkey marinating below. We were doing it all at once, man. This was what I was going to tell you earlier, and I forgot. The reason for this, one of our professors did a survey of companies that hire tech students, like engineers and other stuff. And what do you want them to be able to write? And the number one thing by far was process papers, how to do stuff. So you may not be writing a recipe, but if you can write a recipe, you can write a how-to. How to put this together, how to not get your fingers cut off when you're mowing, whatever it is you're writing, how-to, you now know how to put this list together. And how-to we do stuff now is very different, like you say, from 100 years ago, when they'd just kind of, here's the ingredients, here's the instructions, it's all mixed together and kind of figure it out. We like to be a lot more precise now. So we're not only, you know, converting this stuff, we're trying to, like, modify it enough that it can be a modern recipe, if possible. All right, any questions? Have I stunned you? Do you feel all right? Are you confused, depressed? Yeah, we can take a look.
In a certain period, is that
by... It's just by the end of the week. I found out when I started teaching online classes that we have a lot of students who aren't on campus. Like, this is the biggest bunch I've seen, 1, 2, 4, 6. A lot of people have full-time jobs, and so they work on the weekend. So usually out, Friday or even Sunday night if necessary, if you need the weekend to do it. Okay, let's see. When are stuff due? How-to project due this week. So, you know, end of the week, fine. Sentence outline is due next week. And the end of that week's fine, too. I'll grade that as quickly as possible. Then the long report is January 30th, and that gives y'all a couple of weeks after I get this stuff back. And the nice thing about Moodle is you can get it back as soon as I get it graded. Normally I would grade a whole stack of papers before I would give any of them back, but you can't do that on Moodle. So if your name is A or B, you know, the last name, then you get your stuff back pretty soon. Resume and the group project at the end. Is that it? I guess that's it. We'll talk about the group project next week. It's almost time to go, and I don't want to overwhelm you with different projects on the same day because they'll get confused in your head. We don't want that. Have you ever seen The Fly? That's what your project will look like. It'll be that the project version of that because we got stuff muddled. So we'll try to meet Monday next week. At 3 o'clock Monday because I've got a Wednesday appointment. So I'll only be able to meet once next week too. On a week we can meet twice, it won't be this long. But I wanted to get everything I could in. For you to do your next step. So I think you're ready. This is one of our most difficult lectures, the one I gave today, because we're figuring out what happened and then figuring out what we need to do next. All right. Thank you, guys. You've been a big help.